Fine. So Perek Bet in Amos, we continue with our Ko Amar Adonai Al Shlosha Pishei Moav Al Arba Lo Ashivenu Al Sarfo Atzmot Melech Edom Lasid, for burning the bones of the king of Edom into lime.
Why is it so bad? That's pretty good.
And Josh says, what is that? So first of all, Rashi says, Pam achat nafal melech adom biad melech Moab, sarfu atzmotav. It once happened that Melech Edom, right, was defeated by Melech Moab, so he burnt him. And then he put his bones, he mixed it up, and made bricks for his house. And God said, oh, that is disgraceful. That is disgraceful. Ibn Ezra also says that it's derech bizayon. The problem is that it was disgraceful. He said, why is it a problem? Because he's b'nei Yitzchak. Like, you know, come on. There's also Avram's family. Come on. The Rikara says, no, it was worse than that. It was that Melech Edom hiniach b'no iravon lemelech Moav shel yishabo. The king of Moab, of Edom, had trusted Moab and left his son in the palace as a security, right, as a sign of peace between the nations. And came in Shabbat Melech Edom Yisrael Melech Moab, and when they fought, Zag Melech Moab Meimenu v'lakach shvameot ish. So this, he thinks, is what happens in Melachim Bet in Perek Gimel. Right, there's a war between Melech Edom Yisrael and Yehuda. They join together and they fight Melech Moab. And in that case, the Gemara says, the pasuk says that he killed his son, but there's an ambiguity. Whose son? Who killed who? Right. So Chazal think is that Melech Moab killed his own son as an attempt to mimic something like the Akedah, and God, despite the fact that this was horrible, gave them a little respite and let them not lose as badly and ended it in a stalemate. According to many of the Pashtanim, like the Rikara here, is that no, that the way they finished the war was that Melech Moav took the son of Edom and he, right, and he sacrificed his son. Yeah, that's what ended the war. It shocked it.
but then why is that punishment only being mentioned now?
Why is everything just being mentioned here? the Radak as well connects it to this story. Right, again, it's because of it was. It's one thing to have a war; you're allowed to fight wars, but it was the cruelty, it was the disgracefulness, and that. And again, the Arbanel also picks up on the fact that this is Avram's family, and that is why this is. It's just so bad, right? Meaning, at some level, Kadosh Baruch Hu cares on, you know, the way you treat people. Yeah, you know, and being particularly cruel in war is just not acceptable. Moshe also connects this to that story.
Doesn't Hashem say Navi, they're just gonna like completely wipe out Edom and talk about like how much he's gonna destroy them, things like that?
Sure. God can do whatever he wants. Now, some I'll just point out. Dot Mikra gives all the different interpretations of the crushing the bones. He said some say the problem is he burned him alive, and that's the cruelty. Right? It's one thing to fight; it's another thing to be, you know, horribly cruel. And therefore, he says, "What's the punishment?" V'shilach the eish b'moav, v'chla armanot akiriot, umeit b'shon moav b'tshuvah v'kol shofar. So God says, "Well, I'm going to burn down Moav." Okay, that's what you're going to take, and you're going to die in the tumult shouting the trumpets of war. That is your punishment. V'chrati shofet mikirba v'chol sarea erogimo amar Adonai. And I will cut off judges from their midst. Ibn Ezra claims that means the king, meaning I'm going to take away political power from them, and they will die. They'll die powerless, etc. And now things get serious. Because we started with nations, and now we move. Where'd he go? So now things get harsh, because he turns now to Yehuda. And as I mentioned before from Rabbi Benny Lau, the problem, right, what he's doing here politically or journalistically is brilliant, because now A, it comes closer to home, but more importantly, this is Amos's home territory. So they say, oh. You know, this is like the way people have a sick, sick desire to listen to every story of a chassid who leaves the chassidish community and badmouths the chassidish community, right? You know what I'm talking about? What? It's a thing. It's literally like an entire show on Netflix. What's it called? Unorthodox? Yeah, literally, this is like people have this voyeuristic pleasure of seeing people badmouth their own community. So this is basically what Amos is doing. It's like, aha! And Yehuda! So now they're like, oh, you're serious. Ooh, this is getting dirty. But that's what it is, right? It really gains their trust.
Watch Netflix all day.
So Amos doesn't say that. If Amos was alive, he probably would not like Netflix. I'm just guessing. I don't know. Amos, you know, doesn't seem to me like the person who was like, who liked binge-watching Netflix. I don't know. I'm not saying this with any confidence as a parshan. I'm just saying, you know. What? So, Komar Adonai Ashlosha Pishe Yehuda Valarba V'lo Hashemenu Amasam HaTorat Adonai. They rejected the Torah. They don't keep the mitzvot. Al-Ma'asam, the Ebenezer says they hate the Kohanim. They hate Torah teachers. They've led them astray, and they don't follow their father's ways. Now, he knows, the Radak knows, that the way they punish Israel is a little bit different. All the other punishments are like, you know, and God is like, when it comes to Yehuda already, it'll stretch out over generations. The Radak suggests that the difference between Torah Hashem and mitzvot, he draws on Rasajigon, is the difference between the rational and the non-rational mitzvot, the Shimiyot and the Sichliot. The Vayit'um Kazvehem, he thinks, is that they follow the Nevi'e Sheker. The Abarbanel focuses on the fact that they worship Avodah Zarah. Now, you don't need the Mefarshim really to tell you that Yehuda isn't great now. If you know anything about Tanakh, you'll know that, The Malbim points out that maybe what it's saying by emphasizing that Chukav lo shamar v'yatum v'kizvehem is saying you might have thought that they sinned because of Yetzer Hara or because of Kfira. And no, the main reason is because of their false beliefs, which were strengthened by the false Nevi'im. I hadn't seen this before. The whole Moshe says, oh, kiz vehem, what is the falsehoods? Kol emunot sheker. This means any false belief. Mime kedem ad yamenu yipitaron pilosofi. It's, you know, all those philosophy people and all the all the things that they think they have truth. And because, you know, oh, that's so smart, that philosophy, it leads them astray. And that's where the falsehoods present itself as helpful. And the Hoil Moshe. So this is actually, we should take a moment to reflect on how crazy what I just said is, been considering who it is. Because who is the Hoel Moshe?
Is he a philosopher?
So the no, he's not. No. So who is the Hoel Moshe? So the Hoel Moshe is Moshe Yitzchak Ashkenazi. He was an Italian who is a student of Shadal.
Ooh.
Right, exactly. Whoa. Right? Whoa. Right? Okay. So now you understand why I looked at that. I'm like, I hadn't noticed that one. That's quite radical coming from a Talmud of Shadal, I must say. Anyways, Vishilachti Esh B'Yehuda V'Achlar Menot Yerushalayim. And God says, well, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to burn it down. Burning down Yerushalayim. Yep. And Ibn Ezra says, yes, that's called Nebuchadnezzar. And the Radak says, Vishalachti Esh, who is the fire? Who Nebuchadnezzar? The only difference between Ibn Ezra and Radak is Zeh or who. Same thing, right? They're like, yes, that's Nebuchadnezzar, Abarbanel. That would be Cherev Nebuchadnezzar. Thank you for the clarification. Sure. Right. Everyone's like, we know what this is. It's called the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but Nebuchadnezzar, we've read Tanakh. So we know what that's going to mean.
So like one person who's like counters, actually, it's
second base. Actually,
it's the second base.
Of it's philosophy. Like, what? Like, what? Like,
I know this because I'm a student of the Shaddai.
Weird. Okay. Anyways, very odd. So, okay, anyways, we have to ask Rice Clark what he thinks about this. Call my other night. Al Shlosha Pishay Yisrael. Arba Lo Ashivenu. Al Michram Ba Kesef Tzadik. Vevyon Ba Vorna Alayim. Oh, it's a Haftorah. Good. For which Parsha?
I don't remember now. On the spot.
Yes.
Oh, it was the one with Yosef being sold.
Very good. The one with Yosef being sold. Very good. And that would be...
You got like three good guesses. Any one of those.
Okay. So now we continue. So yes, right. This is the Haftorah that parallels the selling of Yosef. That is correct. Why? Because Chazal, Al Derech Drash, though it doesn't seem to be simple pshat, believe that
selling.
Yeah, and that's where they get the notion that what?
That was a really bad thing.
No, that he sold them for shoes.
Oh, right.
They sold him for shoes. Right? Because they sold the righteous for shoes. That's where they get it from, is that they sold him for shoes. Now, what's the simple pshat? There's all the mefarshim in different ways note here. Is that this isn't about Yosef. It's that the Dayanim, even Rashi says, the Dayanim would take bribes, that's right, and they wouldn't even take a lot. It's like, ooh, a pair of shoes, I'll do whatever you want, right? It's, you know, it's like now you look at the system, it's like they're trying to topple BB for cigars, you know? But you can imagine, Amos, Al Michrab! Like, you could, right?
Yeah.
Not to weigh in on politics. Amos
would very much be pushing.
You know, but it's the...
Bring back biblical justice.
Back almost the cowboy
bit. So some say that what we're dealing with is a form of bribery. Now that's the least harsh thing they can do. A second possibility is that they literally
sold poor people.
They sold poor people. That's exactly right. Is that they sell the poor people.
That's your problem.
Right, so Rikara Rashi say that it's about bribes. Ibn Ezra says that they would, if you allow them to lose, it was is if you sold them, right? That's the problem, is that you have to explain, right? It's as if you sold them down the river, right? But Derech Mashal, not literally. But many of the Mepharshim say no, they literally sold them. The Rima Malagensi is another pirish, is that they wouldn't lend the money and they would leave them so destitute they would have to end up selling themselves. It's Ki'ilu they sold them. Right? Or Ki'ilu. But again, Chazal famously suggests that this is going back to the sale of Yosef and his brothers. And this, where does this famously come, most famously come up midrashically? In the piyut of Yesar Oroge Malchut, right? That they accept the din from Shamayim because the Roman king says it's time to pay up.
Right.
It's time to pay up. What's the punishment for
which?
For kidnapping.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's what is in the piyut. You know that. Right? He says, what's this? And he said, since the time of the 10 tribes, you are the most righteous people. And then the Kohen Gadol goes up to Shamayim and God says, Inochinami, you have to take the place of the Shvatim. Right, that's the famous imagery of the Piyutim of the Asura Haruge Malchut. Some people go in the exact opposite direction, is that shoes were were very, very expensive, and that people were willing to twist the law to get rich. And that seems to be what Targum Yonatan is going on, right? Because he just says, "Bedil diachasun," and that you, that they would, and Rashi clarifies for him that it's konim ba'oshek, calls it an yem absurdum, where they would buy up everything to the poor, right? They would basically, you have no choice, sell it to me at a low, they would, you know, buy it at a low price from starving poor people, sell it high, so that they could. The Abarbanel notes that the Christians try to use this as support for their religion, that the Jews are rejected. And that this became one of those. yeah, the notion that the Jews are going to be rejected. And they further say that which tzaddik they sell for shoes? Yeshua Notzri. The Abarbanel says that they looked at it and they said, aha, the Jews were, their sin was that they sold Jesus. What?
Do they know when this takes place? It's Nebuah. It's for
the future. It's Nebuah.
The shoe thing to me is when you like Moshe Rabbeinu taking off the shoes.
The Abarbanel devotes many, a very, very long piece to why this is not, and proofs that this is not the case. But he notes that this is. Now, the Malbim suggests that this is not the Dayanim, it's just the Aseret HaShvatim in general.
Or being bribed.
Or whatever, yeah. And the whole Moshe just says maybe there's just a melitza, right? It's just an expression. But remember, his whole point was to get to this pasuk. So now, rather than everybody else who got like you know a pasuk or two of insult, yeah, we're not done yet. He's like Hashu afim al afar eretz brosh dalim viderech anavim yatu ish ve'aviv yilchu el nara l'man chelel et shem kachi. They trample the dust of the earth on the head of the poor. They deny justice to the oppressed, and fathers and sons sleep with the same girls, right? Justin Michal, Shame Chamayim, right? They go to the same prostitute, I don't know. Or the Rikara is like, yes, the father and son will go and commit adultery with the same Nara Murasa before her wedding. That's how bad these people are. He's like, they are bad. Imagine the worst things you can possibly think of. Rashi said the same thing. Yep. Naira Milrasa. Right? These people, they take advantage of the poor, they crush them, they twist judgment, and yes, they commit adultery. They go. This is a family, it's a father-son outing. Right? It's like, it's the sickest, most perverted combination of sins you could think of. Yeah, and the whole Moshe adds, yeah, and this is particularly bad because these are the leaders. They should act ethically, and you know this is not it's not what we call ethical. Thank you. Yes, thank you. V'al begadim chavlim yatu etzel kol mizbeach v'yein anushim yishtu beit Eloheihem. They lay down beside every mizbeach on clothes taken as pledges. Right, meaning, right, you're supposed to return the pledges, right, the guarantees of poor people. Instead, they take it and they bring it to their avod, right? They bring it to the Mizbeach, and they drink in, right? They think it's religious and, right? So they're mixing everything together, a little avod zara, a little bit of hedonism, a little bit of taking advantage of the poor. You know, a little bit of philosophy, yeah. They mix it all together, and they rape, and they pillage, and God knows what. And they do it all together. It's a nice, a nice cholent of sin. And, right, it's like everything you can think of. It's really quite bad. And so God says, so here's the consequence. Now the question is avodah zarah. It's possible that it's not, right? One possible is avodah zarah. The other possible is that no, they do this in Mizbeach and the Beit HaMikdash because they don't even realize that what they're doing is unethical, right? They think, oh, I'll wear these fancy clothes that I got for as a guarantee, and I'll bring it, you know, from this poor guy. I took his only good suit, and I'll go and I'll celebrate the Beit HaMikdash. Uh-huh. Like, oh, gevalt the corruption. So God says, "Vanochi hishmati namarim b'nei mashek govar azim gavo chason hu kalodim bashmid piryomi mal sharashav mitachat." He said, "Listen, despite all of this, I destroyed the Emori in right. I destroyed the Emori for you. Right? Meaning, it's not just that you sinned, like, you owe me, right? And, like, I destroyed these people because they were evil, right? And you're just as bad, if not worse, right? He says, I took you for 40 years in the desert from Mitzrayim to come and inherit the land from these horrible people that I got rid of for you.
How did Hashem say the 40 years thing? That's not like a...
I took care of you for 40 years, people. Right?
Yeah, but...
And I made your... Excuse me. I made your kids into Nevi'im and Nezirim, right? You were all Flum, and you were the, you know, the Prusha. You were Hasidim. I gave you, right? I even put my spirit on you, as the Ibn Ezra says, right? Like, I gave you my spirit. I talked to you, and I gave, right? So it's, is it either, the Ibn Ezra, it's like, it's, you know, chutzpah. I gave you my spirit, and you rebelled. The Reuven Balagenzi says, no. And I sent Nevi'im to try to give you Musar, right? A, you owe me. And B, it's not like I didn't give you chances. I send prophets to you to help you do tshuva, to try to make things better. So you'd said, oh, look at these from Nazirim who can come. Let me make them drunk, violate the Isser. Rashi says, yeah, because all you wanted was... Rashi's like, yes, because when people are drunk, they can't paskin. They're like, oh, let me shove some wine in his mouth. He won't be able to tell us if it's usher. Ah, open your mouth. God, no, I'm shoving it down. Now you'll be drunk. I don't care if you're an usher, right? Which is, of course, amazing. That's like halachic logic at its best. It's not just an usher. Like, we're going to make it usher for him to paskin. And the Rikara says the same thing. And I told the Nevi'im, Shah, stop prophesying. Right? We don't want to hear it. We don't want to be better. He said, right, you both are ungrateful and you want to be evil. So God says, so here's what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to crush you in your place like a crush, like a cart crushes that's full of grain. Meaning, I am going to, I'm going to really, really crush you. Like, so crush you, limahadrin. Because I am so angry. I'm going to be fine. Dust. You know, it's not going to be good. V'avad manos mikal v'chazak lo yameitz kocho v'gibor l'mat nafsho. The flight will perish from the swift. Strong won't strengthen his force. Neither shall I deliver himself. He's like, you can't run from me. You won't be strong enough. There's nothing you can do. I am God. Right? This is not happening. I am God. You cannot get away. If you have a bow, too bad. You run on foot, not going to work. On a horse, not happening. Nothing is going to save you because, you know, I'm God. And maybe the most courageous will manage to escape naked on that day. And maybe, right, they'll run away without anything, right? Right, and he's saying, right, the Reuven against you, the point is that, you know, you will be willing, if you survive, it'll be because you're willing to debase yourself, right? Like, maybe the people willing to debase themselves to that point, yacholiot, so. Okay, let me think if there's anything else that I think jumps out at this. Let's see. Right. So again, just to notice, Dot McCrod notes the geography here. Right. So our order was: we started north, then we went west, then we went south, then we went east. Right, because we're going this way. Right, that we talked about. I mean, again, I mentioned several times Rabbi Benny Lau's argument, right? That there, right, the whole point is to build up to this moment. Right. One of the things that is very important here, and we saw this in Hosea, is the extent to which Amos thinks that the root of the sins is hedonism. Right? Then at the end of the day, he doesn't think that the cause of it was they wanted to hurt the poor. It's that they wanted pleasure. And whatever it would take to make money, they would do. Right? And this is a theme that you find over and over in Dvarim. Right? That when will the Jews reject God?
They're doing pretty well.
Right. What? Right. When they're rich. Yeah, and then the interesting, yeah, Moshe Lichtenstein makes the point that especially with Chazal's link of making this the Haftorah for Vayeshev and assuming that it's referring to Yosef, right, by Yosef, especially as Chazal understand it, the sin was that they thought he was a threat, and once they thought he was a threat, right, basically they justified everything they could to harm him, to take advantage of him, to sell him into slavery, and at some level, you see that here. He points out that the sins here, right, are both ingratitude and the inability to have connection with God and hedonism. I think there's more to say, but it's already 7:30, so we're going to have to stop. But, there's more to think about specifically in what Chazal are doing by connecting it to Mecheret Yosef, but that is, we'll end that for now. Shkoyach.